from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, great to have you with us. It's Monday. Coming to you live from the Built Ford Tub Studio, the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network till 10 o'clock. The guys will be back next Tuesday after their extended time off. A lot on the Yankees in hour one. Mets here in a second, but real quick, I heard the commercial during the break, the Skechers commercial with Brooke Burke, and those are all TV commercials as well. Did you ever watch her on E! Do the show Wild On?
No.
Too young.
Fliegelman,
did you
not
ever see that show? We're too young.
Well, he's never heard of than it. I am, so.
Oh, God.
And Jerry,
were you even 30 yet?
Yeah.
No, I'm 28, but I remember her from Dog Eat Dog.
Okay.
Jerry.
Great show.
You're surrounded by a bunch
young
of
guys.
Young
guys. No, no.
I'm the second oldest here on the show today.
And you're not even 40.
Correct.
Man, I got old quick. Anyhow.
It's a holiday week here on the Fan.
Yeah, no, I know. That's all right. That's fine.
And Boyle's under 30.
That's what I'm saying.
25.
You guys
are,
you got two under 30. Fleegs is how many years younger than I am? Five, six?
I'm 32.
You're okay. What?
Yeah.
You're 32?
Yeah, and I'm 38.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, man.
I am surrounded by kids. That's okay.
I mean, I'm not a kid. I have kids.
You
at least I have kids. These guys, Fleegs is married, but the other two, not so much.
Hey, I'm old enough to appreciate Brooke Burke.
Well, the point is, I remember watching her on the E! Channel, and I looked it up to find out when it was, because I mean, you look at her in these commercials, she looks phenomenal.
Well, some people age gracefully, Jer.
Her show was 99 to 2002.
It's a minute ago.
She's 52.
Yeah.
She doesn't look a day over 30.
Whereas the guys at Old Timers Day over the weekend are looking like their age.
Some of them. Not all of them.
Well, CeCe's in better shape than when he played, which everyone pointed out.
Sabathia looked great, I thought. And you know what? Not for nothing. If you put a baseball cap on Andy Pettit, he looks the same.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem is he's there with the gray, salty hair.
Well, he had that even at the end of his playing career.
Yes. Yeah. I think if you would put the cap on him, Joe Torre looks fine.
Yes.
A-Rod looks fine. Sabathia looked
But you listen different. To them talk about just the way their bodies feel. Jorge Posada specifically, they were like, you know, about wanting to play. Hey,
that's
you got to play.
Who caught how
no,
many
I
games.
Know, but he's just like, you know, I get out of bed most mornings and I'm like, what happened while I was asleep?
Yeah. Oh, I get it. You stiffen up, as they say.
My dad was all jacked up. He goes, you know who looked the best all these years? Everyone looks like he could still play. Willie Randolph.
Okay.
Looking good.
Good for I didn't see him
right
on that the other day. No, I didn't see.
Well, it was mostly about the 09 team, obviously.
I caught a lot of the interviews in-game.
Yeah, AJ Burnett still looks as menacing as ever with all the tats.
And Burnett was funny because he did a podcast with Sweeney and Nick Swisher. And they were talking about being invited for Old Timers Day.
Yeah.
And Burnett's like, no.
Right.
I'm not old. I don't want any part of Old Timers Day.
Well, that looks, the name is what it is, but it's long been.
Oh, no, I know. It's still funny, though.
Old. You know, Johnny Damon might have been high. It's possible. I don't know.
Would that shock you?
No, it wouldn't.
He is another guy.
Yes, he is.
All right. So I mentioned we get to the Mets here. Let's do this for a couple minutes because yesterday was one of those games where it's a kick in the groin if you're a Met fan. You've got everything. Like, there were signs yesterday that it was the Met day to win.
You had the play by Lindor on the stolen base, mm-hmm. where I think it was, I forget who it was, he overslides the bag.
So you had fired up.
You had the, yes, because at that point, like, things couldn't have been going better for them. You got the play by Iglesias, who's going to cover on the stolen base. Ball gets hit a little to his left, dives, catches it, has the wherewithal to tag the base with his foot. You had Quintana, while not striking anybody out,
it's amazing
out
to
after
me.
Out.
Shutout ball, 6 1/3.
Well, you know what it goes?
Single strikeout. In today's game, you don't see it.
You don't see it. Well, you also don't see a guy that's not throwing 100 either in today's game. I mean, that's another thing that, you like the one guy that came in for the Rockies yesterday, he comes in, he's throwing 100 miles an hour, and you're thinking, God, another one of these fireballs.
We're at Yankees Guardians last week. They brought in the submarine pitcher who was throwing, like, above 95. I'm like, those guys were always coming in because they couldn't throw hard. What are we doing here?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So you had, to me, all the makings of a Met win. Now, if you want to point out to bases loaded with Lindor up in the fourth or fifth inning, whatever that was, and he strikes out where they could have broken the game open, fair enough. I won't argue with that.
Hard to knock it after what he did the day prior.
So I can't. You know, that was like, man, could he get a grand slam in back-to-back days? You never know. Even a base hit would have broken that game open a little bit. But I'm not going to kill Lindor for that, although it was a spot where they could have probably won the game. Then what happens, and this comes back to my argument about starting pitchers, the 100-pitch number, and their value to a game. If you're a starting pitcher and you can't get it to the closer, all right, and now you're bringing in relief pitchers. Jose Quintana yesterday takes a game into the seventh inning, walks away with a 2-0 lead, all is good, and gets nothing to show for
it. And they had their two better relievers rested and ready to go.
You had Buto and Diaz all lined up. So you got this conversation about what are pitchers worth. I don't know the answer to that anymore in this day and age, because it's not 1955 where a guy's going to go out and he's going to throw 9 innings no matter come hell or high water. It's not 1940 where you might have a guy start both ends of a doubleheader, for God's sakes, which I know didn't happen a lot, but that did happen. It is just now, you know what? He's at 93 pitches. I don't like this matchup third time. Let's get him out. Why? There was nothing Jose Quintana was doing yesterday that was stressful. He's not throwing 102. He's pitching the contact the entire game. And again, listen, you can make the case. I get it. You can, looking back, if he stays in and he gives up the lead, you kill him because Buto's ready. I get that. This is more a conversation about what is the value of a starting pitcher in this day and age when they don't finish games or can't go 8 innings or we get to 90 to 100 pitches, get him out. That, to me, yesterday, I know the Padres have played well. The Mets had no business losing that game yesterday.
No, they didn't. But it's funny you bring that up about Quintana and just the way we think and the way baseball works now. Baseball purist Evan Roberts, there he was yesterday. Mendy fell in love with lefty-lefty. Quintana's been done for numerous batters. So even the baseball lifer has been conditioned the same way, right?
I guess.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I listen, that's part of goes back to what we talked about in the open. It is a different game. It's not the one I grew up with, and it's not to say that change is always bad. It's just I would like to see us go back to a baseball where the starters work deeper into the games. I didn't watch the whole broadcast last night, but I saw a clip, I guess, from the Sunday night game. They interviewed Justin Verlander in the middle of the game, and he talked about how, you know, the starting pitcher is being devalued, and they need to get back to more of the way it once mm-hmm. was and letting these guys work through things instead of relying so much on the analytics, the matchups, and the numbers. But to your question about, well, what is the pitcher worth? I mean, it's still hard to find five guys that can go out day in and day out, get enough outs to get it to your bullpen. We know the bullpens are more important than they ever were. But the other side of that is if you don't have starters, the guys that are consistently getting knocked out in the third or fourth inning or putting you behind the eight ball, eventually that important bullpen is going to wear down and then you've got nothing working
for
you.
You're absolutely right. But I guess my point is now we get excited over a 6-inning start. I would say most baseball fans, if a starting pitcher goes out there and gives you 6 innings of 2-run ball, they're going to tell you he had a great outing.
Yeah.
But you've got 33% of the game still to be decided.
No, I'm with you. I don't look at that as a great outing. I look at it as, all right, it was solid, kept the team in the game, gave the team a chance to win, and they got it to the, I'm not even going to say back end of the bullpen, but the quote-unquote high leverage relievers mm-hmm, probably sure. to get those last 9 outs. But yeah, I'm still conditioned to like, yeah, okay. Would have liked to see him work a little deeper into the game, but pitch count got up there, and they're going to always very few pitchers in baseball are going to be allowed to go beyond the 100 pitch mark.
I know Nolan Ryan tried to do it when he took over the Rangers, and it did not go well. It did not work out well. It's just, I don't know how you fix it. I know they're trying to, you saw the possible rule changes. They're trying to bring the prestige of the starting pitcher back. We want to bring the prestige back? Pitch! Like, that's how you do it. You pitch deeper into games. You stop nibbling. You throw more strikes. Who was it? It was Paul O'Neill last week in one of the Yankee games was talking about how, no, it was John Sterling. John Sterling, when he was in the booth with O'Neill and Kay on Yes, was talking about the difference of calling the game to now being home and watching the game. And he said the big difference for him is watching the game is he now realizes pitchers don't want to throw strikes.
I think pitchers don't want to throw strikes because a lot of hitters are really good at hitting strikes over the fence.
Yeah, I get. I don't know what the answer is then.
There's another side to that, obviously, because we talk about not a lot of balls, not as many balls in play as there once was, even though that's improved a little bit with the rule changes, ton of home runs being hit. But, I mean, that's where the game has changed, and I can understand where, like it was back in the day, where you could just run the same guy out. These hitters have gotten so precise with mechanics, they're on the tablets in the middle of the games, looking at at-bats, like looking for tendencies, looking for certain things about the way in which a pitcher is attacking them. So there's a short list of guys who have the ability, not just physically, but I think mentally and the way that they set up hitters to be able to get through more than just the two times. It's a short list. Have you watched the Maddux things come out yet? The Greg Maddux, have you seen this?
I have not.
Documentary coming out about him. The clips have been out there the last couple of days. I don't know if it debuted yet. I think it's an MLB Network production. And you get sort of a behind-the-scenes look at how he was able to do what he did. Because obviously he was not an overpowering, flamethrower pitcher. Right. So that's the part that I think for a lot of pitchers has been lost. Because there is such a focus on velocity, spin rate, stuff.
Velocity is everything.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be.
Right.
It should. You need guys that pitch, not just throw.
And it shouldn't be because everyone's doing it now.
Right.
It's not, you know, you throw 100, okay, here's a long line of other guys that do it too. What it wants, it doesn't, and at some point there'll be a reversal because everyone's like, all right, everyone's doing it. What makes you so special? So how do you stand out?
You know what the problem with that is, though? I know we'll get back to the Mets in 1 second. The problem with that, though, is, so, you know, my son's 14. All right, so now I'll bring it to the youth level and where the game is going or where it is. You've heard a perfect game, obviously, which is great. I mean, tremendous tournaments. They give you all sorts of data. Their website is great. You get video clips of your kid. I mean, it's really phenomenal. The problem with it is, at least from what I see, is that they make sure they track your miles per hour. They make sure they track your batting average. Like, your stats are everything.
Yeah.
The kids in between innings, sometimes in the middle of an inning, will go to their phone to see, was that scored a hit or was that reached on an error?
Yeah.
They'll come off the mound and they'll check, what was my velocity that inning? And it's all about pushing that number further and further and further. You want to know why we have so many issues at the 20, 30-year-old level? Because it's starting when they're 12 years old or younger.
And their bodies aren't developed. They're not built for the type of stress that you put on the
and
body that way.
Too much.
Yeah.
They're probably playing too much. Yeah. All right, so that's off on a tangent. Sorry. Back to the Mets for a second. So now 2.5 behind the Braves. They opportunity blown yesterday. Again, the loss was hard enough. The fact that they had the game won and they blew it sucked. The fact that the Braves actually lost to the Nationals earlier, kick in the teeth. And now, on top of that, you have to go play one of the hottest teams in baseball in the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I would say the reverse to that, though, is another opportunity to gain some ground on a team that you're chasing already.
True.
So, I mean, yeah, it's not easy. The trip, we knew. Look, even going back to the beginning of the month when we talked about two West Coast trips for them and the fact that they went back out there, didn't get a day off, four games set against the fact that they won Thursday, I was kind of surprised by.
I agree.
So, I mean, look, I'm conflicted with the Mets right now because I think that they're playing fine overall. I think they're playing well enough. They're obviously still above 500. They're five games above. But because they've got ground to make up and these other teams are, for the most part, playing well, it puts every game at a premium.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, that's how we feel right now on Monday, August 26th. The reality is there's still enough games left to you know, track somebody down, run somebody down. They could get hot. One of these other teams could go into the tank. I mean, you have to believe at some point the Braves, with all these injuries, it's got to catch up with them at some point, no?
I mean, I didn't expect them to play this well, so with the Braves, I never put anything
and
past
that's,
them.
You know,
but I agree with
sort
you.
Of the randomness of baseball to some extent, the highs and the lows. We talked about that with the Yankees in the Open. But, I mean, it's hard for me to, yes, in a vacuum, yesterday's game, extremely disappointing, missed opportunity, kick in the teeth, the groin, the gut, whatever you want to say. But they still went west in a four-game set against a really good team and found a way to get two. So is that going to be enough to get them to October as it stands right now? No, probably not. But, I mean, if you look through this stretch, they take the two out of three against Baltimore. You split against the Padres team that's been the best in baseball since the All-Star break. So, yeah, it puts a premium on this Arizona series. You got to find a way to go win two out of three. And you know what? They're not incapable.
No, they're not.
As well as Arizona's played, they're not incapable.
And that would be the question I would have. Does this team have one more run in them? Because you've seen the Padres and the Diamondbacks, you know, be on a tear. The Mets have been average. They haven't been bad. They've been average.
Yeah.
Do they have a run in them where they win 9 out of 10, 9 out of 11? Because I'll tell you right now, if you have one of those stretches, all you need is a team like the Braves to go 5-5
yeah.
and 10. And all of a sudden, you've made up those games like that. But I don't know that they do. I'm not sure.
They need another guy or two in the lineup to get going. And it's easier said than done.
They need Pete Alonso
to get going. I was going to say, we keep waiting. We keep saying maybe he'll... Maybe he'll finally find his way here and, you know, put the team on his back for a series or a week or whatever the case may be. It hasn't happened yet. So, like, the law of averages would suggest perhaps it's coming down the stretch here into September. I mean, Lindor has done everything he possibly can. Vientos has obviously, for the most part overall, been a big bright spot. But outside of that, you know, you had that little burst from Nimmo, and then it kind of went away again. And I know,
went,
you know,
away quickly.
Yeah. And, I mean, man, you look, he's down to 226.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I think offensively you need a burst from somebody. Alvarez has been disappointing. You thought that this was going to, you know, him coming back when he first came back from the IL gave them the jolt. Hasn't quite been there. So I don't know who it's going to be. It would be great if it's Alonso. Pitching-wise, it's not overpowering, but I think they have enough.
Especially
your boy Nunez is back now and pitched Saturday. So it's
my favorite.
It's not dominant, but I think they have enough to make a push.
Here's Phil in Staten Island. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Morning.
I want to talk about the Mets pitching staff. How does Aetna still have a job? This team walks more people than I think everybody in the major leagues.
They might.
Not only that, Edwin Diaz, I watch him pitch. This guy's arm slot is all over the place. It never comes out of the same place. That's why he's so wild.
Which?
Like, everything sells right on a fastball. He opens up too fast. How can he not see this?
So if you go back to when, in the beginning of the season, when he was having his troubles, Phil, that's exactly what he said he had to work on. And it seemed like he corrected it because he had a pretty good stretch there where he seemed like he was the dominant pitcher again. It's even his last bunch of outings have been good. You know, yesterday was... He looked all right. First batter was fine.
Yeah, it's a 2-0 slider that he hung. And that, I agree. It was Phil, right?
Phil.
I agree with Phil that, look, some guys, it's hard for them to repeat their delivery and their mechanics. And, like, Diaz has always had a lot of arms and legs kind of, you know, flying at you with his motion, with his delivery. So I think sometimes you're going to have to live with some of the inconsistencies. I know you don't want to hear that about your high-paid closer, but, like, they can't all be Mariano Rivera, you know? So, look, he went through that real tough stretch of the season since he came back from the IL. Overall, I think he's been pretty solid. There's been, you know, very few sort of flare-ups. It was the game in Miami when he gave up the four runs. I think since then, hasn't been any sort of, like, major meltdown. Like, look, yesterday's, it's unfortunate. The whole thing was a little weird to me in that it's a tie game and you're going to your closer on the road in the ninth there. You know, that was a little kind of strange and unusual. But look, to his point about Hefner and the pitching staff, the numbers are what they are. And the Mets staff has walked more than anyone except the crappy Chicago White Sox. I mean, that there's no way around that. So from that standpoint, I don't know what that's about other than, like we said, collectively as a staff, I think there's enough, but it's sort of like a lot of bit parts a little bit. Like, you know, this Nunez has kind of come out of nowhere and has become one of their high leverage guys. Buto is a converted starter that's working out of the pen. You know, they're kind of pieced it together at times with the starting rotation. They don't have a lot of those overpowering flamethrower guys. They've got to probably live on the edges a little bit more and pick their spots. So it's not perfect. It's pretty much what we expected coming into this year, right? We thought they'd be around a 500 team. They're a little north of that. Hopefully they play some good baseball down the stretch to at least give us a you know, a wild card series to get excited
about. I would think
about.
Most Met fans didn't think they would be in it in September.
Yeah,
they are.
They've gotten us to this point.
Now we'll see if they can finish the job and actually get to October. Mm-hmm. We shall see. All right, we'll take a quick break. Pat Boyle coming up next. We will get to the football, probably the 8 o'clock hour as well. We'll get to the CeeLo vacation at some point, too, and a couple of other things up our sleeve. It's CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, nice to have you with us. 725, Built Ford Tub Studio, the Boomer and Geo program. The guys will be back next Tuesday. So you've got myself, you've got CeeLo, we've got Pat Boyle. Real quick before we get to Pat's update, just in terms of, no, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's give Pat his time.
All right, then.
And then at 45, I have something for you housewise that is going to be right up your alley.
Okay.
I think, and maybe you guys too out there, I would certainly think, otherwise I wouldn't bring it up.
Very gracious.
You're too young. Yeah, you're too young.
You don't want to get to it now?
No, because you don't have to deal with these things.
Oh, is it house?
Yeah, it's a house thing. Like, you're not a homeowner nonsense. Yet.
Since you're like not a homeowner. Half my age, you're probably not dealing with that stuff yet. So I'd rather just give you the full time to. I know you've prepared a lot of stuff, so I'm very excited to hear what you've got.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah. Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. In case you were in a six-month coma in 2022, Aaron Judge making sure to give you another chase at history this season. Two home runs yesterday, 50 and 51 on the year. Yankees pulled away to beat the Rockies 10-3 in the rubber game yesterday. Soto, Judge, Stanton, back-to-back-to-back. In the bottom of the seventh to break it open. Judge got a curtain call after his second bomb. So here's the history part now. Third season with 50 or more home runs. He's now part of an elite group. Only Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, A-Rod, and Babe Ruth can say they've done the same.
Only one of those not connected to steroids.
Well, that's not true. Babe Ruth did goat testicles.
Stop.
That was Richard Neer.
There was certainly
mashing the testicles of goats.
And then doing what with them?
I don't know. Some sort of a... Sue, see if you can find that.
Is that near claiming that's what Babe Ruth was doing?
I think he read it in a book something like that. That Ruth did... You have it, Sue?
Well, I actually was working that day. I remember that. Tremendous. And I just remember him saying it and just being like, what is going on?
Very
Why
funny.
Do we not have drops of Neer just saying goat testicles?
No, Eddie does.
Oh, he does? I've never heard that
like
one.
Fort Knox in there, if you can find it.
No, I know, but all the time. Is that a more recent thing? I don't think I've heard that drop.
It's got to be at least a few years old.
All right, then.
I just picture Zoo at 6:30.
Grinding up testicles of goat.
There you go.
There it is.
And that was the Babe Ruth story.
I'm taking the wrong protein.
Goat. Singular.
I picture Zoo at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday hearing that and just going, bro, what is this guy saying?
That's probably right.
Questioning
people want to hear him spanking lesbians.
All right, then. That Richard Neer is very edgy. You never know what you're going to get on that Saturday morning program.
So smoking marijuana.
Lip smack in between.
Oh, shock boy. Jock.
Yeah, Judge got a curtain call after his the second home run, but as always, putting the spotlight on the big picture.
A great accomplishment, but there's more to be done. You know, this team's got a big mission in front of them, and I think we're all focused on that right now.
Yeah, he was asked about it again, and he'll be asked about it several times over the remaining 5+ weeks about the chase to break his own AL home run record of 62 that he set 2 years ago.
I don't think that really helps anybody if I try to go up there and hit homers. You know, it's I got to this point just trying to be a good hitter and be a good teammate. So that's what I'm going to try to do. And I feel like if I do that, we can look up at the end of the year, and I think the numbers will be where they're supposed to be. So it's kind of out of my control. Just go out there and do my job.
Tough to ignore the sound, the song in the background. Yes. Are you guys are laughing at?
No, not at all. They go on and on and on.
I get out of patience for a clip.
Oh, no, it's
even
fine.
One, sometimes it's a clip. It's not, he will load the clip and play and be like, all right, it's enough for it.
It's not even the clip. It's I thought he was done.
I know.
And then you start to talk. He's still going.
Yes.
He's going to end up with, I think this is a fair, 60 and 145. I mean, is that, think about that.
It's absurd.
It is ridiculous.
Here's the part I can't
get
over. No
goat testicles.
Right? Okay. A couple things. No goat testicles, right?
No, nothing.
Number one, he just talked about not trying to hit home runs. Most guys don't go up trying to hit it, but there's so much strength. Yeah, that's the word I was going to use. Yeah, when you watch like the replays, you're like, how is he bombing these balls? It looks like he's just taking like a 50% swing.
He's
it's crazy.
Eight. He's 6'8", 280.
No, I mean, I get that.
Did you see the picture of him next to Caitlin Clark?
Yes.
I mean, she looks like a child next to him.
But the picture of him next to Jeter over the weekend.
Well, that too.
I mean, yeah. Well, I get it. Jeter's
well,
not
I said
6'8",
Caitlin Clark, she's a basketball player. You think she must be kind of tall, but she looked like a kid next to him.
Right. And the other thing with Judge, I'm sorry. You want to finish with your...
No, just Stanton had that one too, where he went down to a knee the other day and hit a home run.
Right, on a ball that was, low and away, basically. Yeah. Yep, and powered it over. It's similar yesterday. That ball was on the outer half, and he...
Yeah,
it was
not
a slider,
down on a knee
but,
like that.
No,
but yes.
Right, but still powering over the center field wall. The thing with Judge, look, the home runs, whether he breaks his own record or not, but the fact that, as it stands right now, the comparison to 2 years ago to now, so he's through 131 team games, the batting average is 37 points higher.
Unreal.
The on-base percentage is 66 points higher, and the slugging percentage, in a year where he hit 62 home runs, right? His slugging percentage is like 70 points higher, 75 points higher. That's
this
crazy.
Like
we looked at that season a couple years ago, and we were in awe, and he's, at the moment, outdoing it.
Right.
And on top of that, in a month of April where he was horrible.
Dreadful, yeah.
I'm more in awe of this season than I think. Now, I'll say the Barry Bonds season for sure, but again, I got to look at that with one eye kind of half open, half closed, because I know what happened.
Right.
Imagine
but
Judge on juice.
It's this. No, I couldn't.
Imagine him on goat testicles.
That's right. What I said, right.
Yeah.
He just seems to me like I've never seen anything like this. I've said it a million times. I know we're not on the West Coast. I know we're not watching Ohtani every day. I'm sure they feel the same way about him. This to me is different, though. I mean, you're talking 60, 145. How many runs is he going to score?
I think
about that, too.
Yeah.
Isn't he over 100 runs scored already?
He is at 104, Jerry.
Okay. He
had
125.
He had 133 a couple years ago.
By the way, I am not being a jerk. I promise you.
But
I have to ask.
Is that, go ahead.
The shirt again?
Are you wearing women's perfume?
No. No. Jerry, you're a
like
gentleman.
Macy's.
I'm glad that you prefaced that so nicely.
No.
I did two sprays of cologne. Because I'm working Evan and Tiki today, so I want to make sure I don't stink by the end of the day.
You don't, at all.
Allie did our makeup.
Yeah.
And as soon as I sat down in the chair and she's putting the makeup on me, I just get wafted in the face with
her
perfume.
Okay.
And like, I feel like all of her makeup tools had perfume on them.
Okay.
You guys, you didn't smell that when you got the makeup?
No, only when you walk in. I didn't get sprayed by perfume.
No, I didn't get sprayed by it. I will say, I know the scent that you're talking about, and it's a very pleasant one.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting that it attached itself to you, yet anytime...
Well, no, he said she sprayed perfume and he was behind her. So
No, she didn't spray perfume.
No, he didn't say that.
Oh. Like, I sat down
just go
like,
with that, though. that sounds better.
I sat down
in
the chair.
No, for Pat, he's fine. He's got nothing to worry about. It's all good.
Yeah, no, I sat down in the chair, and when she started putting the makeup on me, which was a nice treat, by the way.
Yeah.
It blasted me in the face. All right.
I will tell you.
Do you know how things work around here, Pat? You got to be careful with your phrasing or else it's going to end and you'll hear it for the rest
of
time.
Oh, we'll hear it now.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude, that
climax just hits you right in the face. I was going to say wafted in my face, but then that probably would have sounded like a fart. So
stop talking.
Yeah, you're making it worse.
If I shut my eyes and no one talks, I would feel like it's December 23rd and I'm walking into Macy's right now through the perfume section.
Yeah, I mean, long story short.
It smells great.
Yeah, long story short, I don't wear women's perfume.
Okay.
I'm glad we cleared that up. And here's the other takeaway. Allie smells nice.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
She
beats the alternative,
great. She
right?
always does.
Especially, look. It's the middle of the night, right? We're all just rolling out of bed to get here. And, you know, for her, she's got to come in and deal with us apes, you know? Like,
yeah, she does.
She doesn't have to, you know, to take care of herself. But, you know, it's
she
nice.
She always does.
It's nice to have that as opposed to the alternative.
Right, well, mm-hmm. Right? Long story short, you smell lovely.
Yes, thanks.
Are you wearing ladies' perfume? That was like the scene of Mrs. Doubtfire when he sits down at the... you know what? You guys
saw
the movie.
I saw that movie.
You're throwing away your references before you even get them out there.
Right. It's more like Shrek with Pinocchio. Are you wearing ladies' underwear?
Yes.
That's a good one, Zoo. No. Yeah. And then the nose grows. Very good.
My nose didn't grow. No. Marcus Stroman grinded his way through the Rockies lineup for 5 innings, giving up 3 runs on 5 hits. A quad of relievers, Canely, Cousins, Weaver, Mesa finished the job. And the only reason I bring that
up. Nice.
Yes. Is because the Yankees DFA'd Michael Tonkin before the game. That poor guy's been getting tossed around baseball like a fleshlight this year.
Like a fleshlight. Okay. Does Jerry know what a fleshlight is?
I actually do.
Okay, good. Very good.
Communal fleshlight.
Curious about that. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like once he came to the Yankees, he kind of found his home, right? But not so much.
Fourth time. He's been DFA'd 4 times this year. Mm. Twice by the Mets.
The Twins as well.
And now yesterday. And
the Yankees brought him in. They seem like they fixed him. Not so much, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was great in the beginning.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Last 12 outings, 6.98.
Well, that's why. Hence the DFA. People are like, well,
Wasn't he the pitcher on what day was it? Wednesday or Thursday that he had strike 3 called and the umpire called it a ball and then he gave up a home run right after that? Does that sound right? Was that Tonkin?
Sure. Might have been. Not sure.
I think one other thing too on that. These catchers today, Alvarez does it. It drives me nuts. Wells does it. They don't hold the ball. Like, they receive the ball. It's like, it's just assumed the umpire is going to make the right call.
Not framing pitches anymore. Presenting it.
Some do, but some of these guys are just so nonchalant with it. It's like, can you just hold it? That was a strike.
Right.
And the umpire doesn't do anything. And you're already throwing the ball back to the pitcher. Like, drives me nuts.
I seem to notice every time a guy holds it and doesn't get the call. I'm sure it happens.
Maybe then it feels like you're showing up the ump. I don't know.
I don't know.
Tonkin. It's disappointing. With no more Emmanuel. Now we're Tonkin. Remember, that was his signature. Were you here that day? I guess not if I was here.
I might have. I don't remember that.
He closed out a game. Now we're Tonkin.
Oh, that was Emmanuel's first
Gio loved it.
First swing at, you know, being flashy.
Yeah.
We mentioned the home plate umpire, Nick Marley, being carted off last hour. Yankees now in D.C. to play the Nationals for 3 games before coming back home. So that means Juan Soto returns to his first club where he won a title just after turning 21. Susan asked him after the game if he's excited.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to be back to D.C. It's been a lot of good friends down there and a lot of good memories in that ballpark. So I think it's going to be great.
Speaking of which, you'll remember he turned down the massive contract the Nationals offered him a few years ago, which was 15 years, $440 million. There was a lot of Yankee fans chanting yesterday during the game, "Please stay Soto." He was asked about it after the game.
I don't know. They had to talk to Cashman.
Yeah.
This guy.
I will say there was a huge grin on his face as he said that. He was being lighthearted with it and trying to kind of kick it back instead of stir anything up. So, I mean, it's got to be a weird spot for him. He's not going to commit to anything now.
He's not committing to anything.
It's great to get the love from the fans. Obviously, he's played exceptionally well, so he's not doesn't seem to be feeling much pressure. It certainly has an impact on his performance, but, I mean, that'll all be played out.
There's two things here that I find interesting with the way this negotiation goes at some point. If they win a World Series, you can make every case that, you know what, we had him here, we won the World Series, we're not giving him $600 million.
Yeah.
You could also make the case they don't win the World Series. You know what? We brought him here. It still wasn't good enough. We're not giving him $600 million. Or you could go the other way and say, this is the piece. We need to add more, but this is the guy. Look how dynamic they were.
Yeah.
Like, you could make both arguments.
And it's such a unique situation because of his age when he's getting to free agency. I mean, we talked about with Alonso. He's not getting any younger. You know, Soto is right in the prime of his career. And look, I'm not telling Hal Steinbrenner and the Steinbrenner family and whoever's calling the shots over the year out of the Yankees how to do their business, how to run their business, how to spend their money. But, I mean, we saw the chart middle of this season. You know, the Yankees, their revenue versus what percentage they're spending.
Right.
You know, they make more money than anybody else, but their spending was like middle of the league as far as the percentage of their revenue.
Sure.
I mean, and I get it, it's a huge number. If you're not bringing this guy back, where are you going next? What are you turning to?
I agree with you.
Here's the thing that I think maybe puts more pressure on Hal. What is Judge going to say? he's been having Soto hit in front of him all year. And here's what Judge, by the way, they asked Judge about the please stay Soto chance. This is what he said.
I do jump in. But, you know, it's the fans are excited. They got every right to be. And he's an incredible player who's done a lot for us this year. And I think they definitely want to see a lot more of that to come.
I mean, you're telling me he's not going to Hal and say, let's go.
Right. The question is, what's the number, though?
Yeah.
I would think the Dodgers, the Mets, every team, I think, has to have their limit of, we're not giving this guy $60 million. What's the matter?
Nothing.
You can't smile like that.
I'm sorry. I tried to bite my lip. Well, we're just, Pat's getting it from all angles here. My nephew just texted me, guy doing updates, maybe wearing the worst shirt of all time.
But it pops.
It does pop.
It does pop.
It got his attention, so that it serves its purpose, right?
It does.
It blasted me in the face.
Somebody else out there who thinks it's the greatest shirt of all time.
There's no doubt.
Right?
Absolutely.
Great shirt. I got this at the U.S. Open last year. This is my commemorative U.S. Open day one shirt.
And this big week ahead for you. You'll be covering the U.S. Open.
Yeah. I'll be here basically 5 days this week. So
I thought you said you were doing both this week.
Yeah.
Is that next week?
Well, I'll be there tomorrow. Well, actually, tomorrow I'm going to be working on this show again. I don't know if that's breaking news.
Oh.
So I'll be with you guys again tomorrow.
It might be news to Cherry. I don't know.
No, I had no idea what's
good.
Going on.
All right.
Yeah. So,
very excited about it.
Men's cologne tomorrow.
And a more neutral shirt.
I'm just kidding. Well,
yeah. Okay.
Just kidding.
So, Yanks and Nationals.
Hey-o.
Yanks and Nationals tonight. 6:45 first pitch. Coverage here on The Fan at 6:05. Nestor Cortez on the mound to face Mitchell Parker. You guys have been touching on the Mets this hour, so I'll keep it brief. But they get walked off by the Padres yesterday, 3-2. Had to settle for a split of the four-game series. I played Keith Rad's call last hour for Mets Radio. I know you guys know how amazing Don Orsillo is.
Yes, I was going to ask if we could get that.
Not to rub it in for the Mets fans, but listen to his call on Padres TV.
High drive, deep right field, Merrill Madness! Walk off at Petco! Padres win it, 3-2!
I was like, I didn't notice that. It's funny. Watch the game. And I didn't see all of the game. I actually was listening on the Odyssey app outside yesterday. I only saw like bits and pieces on television. You would have thought that place was packed to the top. That right field was empty. I didn't notice that the first time around. That's
I'm looking at the, again, the announced number, the paid number versus what's actually
what?
There. They had, according to this, had over 40,000
okay.
for all
right.
four
fans,
games.
Those fans stink. Look at that, dude. Look how many empty seats
are
in right field.
That is a lot.
Those fans stink. I went there for a game last year.
The park is gorgeous, though.
It is gorgeous. It's a great park, but it's San Diego. They don't care. Yeah,
I'll
they announced 40,000. There was like 10,000 empty seats
in
that right
every
field
team does
deck.
Do that,
41,
first of all.
41,870 is the listed number for yesterday.
The one game that I did go to was 6 years ago, five years. I forget when it was, 5 or 6 years ago, and it was packed. To the point where we were sitting lower level, we left in the like fifth or sixth inning to go sit in the grass. It was just too busy. There were too many people, which I know sounds crazy. The seats were tight. So maybe that's it. Maybe they were just spread out. But that was interesting.
But in the bottom of the ninth inning, your team's red hot. You're in the thick of a wild card race. You got to be in your seat.
I agree. I don't know if there's somewhere else they disperse. But like that crowd, that listed crowd for Mets Padres yesterday, is actually slightly more than the Yankee game.
Mm,
now, I know they're playing the Rockies, but do you think there is actually more people in San Diego than
I don't know.
Those fans suck. Last year I went to a game, I was ripping Tatis because he basically didn't run out of ground ball, and I like screamed at the top of my lungs, "You're nothing without the juice!" And a bunch of people like turned around in horror. I was like, "Oop,
wrong place."
Yeah. That was off Edwin Diaz, by the way. Hung a 2-0 slider right down the plate. Jose Buto gave up a game-tying blast in inning before. Two-run shot to Jerickson Profar. It spoiled a gritty but tremendous start from Jose Quintana, who went 6 1/3 innings of shutout ball despite 0 Ks. The only two glimpses of Mets offense, J.D. Martinez, solo home run in the fourth, Mark Vientos in the seventh. We mentioned last hour, Brett Beatty broke an index finger in his AAA game, likely done for the season. The good news for the Mets, they got help from the Nationals. They beat the Braves yesterday 5-1, so the Mets, who were 68-63, stay 2.5 games back for the final wild card spot.
All right. Sounds good, dude.
Get creative next hour. Mixing some football.
Looking forward to it. All right, Pat. We'll see you next hour.
Love the creativity. Always bring the creativity.
I wanted to make sure I was on my P's and Q's first 2 hours, even if the shirt and the women's perfume, you know, isn't.
T's have been crossed.
Hitting with the masses.
The I's have been dotted.
You're good. I'm sorry. I had to ask. I'm sorry.
No. And
you smell lovely.
It's a totally fine answer because, like I said, when I did sit down, I got, like, overwhelmed by Allie's perfume.
He caught himself.
It blasted me in the face.
Yeah, he almost said blasted again.
He did. All right, we'll see you next hour, Pat. Good job. When we come back, how much streaming is too much streaming? Also, the movie buff over here, I have a question for him.
You got
on
a
one
house
of the
thing
most
for me too.
And that, well, that's the streaming thing.
Oh, all right.
And then the a movie question for you with one of the most not one of the most a well-regarded film that seems like it's coming back in a weird way. I'm going to ask you about that next. And we'll get to the football at 8 o'clock as well. It's CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, nice to have you with us. 10 in front of 8. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I got a couple of things I'm going to throw at CeeLo coming up in just a moment. Also, we're going to get to the NFL at the top of the hour. However, right now it is time for our thriving player of the game. And we're talking about the Yankees, of course, yesterday. And you don't have to be a genius to figure this one out. His name is Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge swings and flies it. Deep right center field. Back near the wall. It is gone again. Aaron Judge, number 51. Soto and Judge go back to back. The stadium is raucous as the Yankees have a 6-3 lead.
Yeah, two home runs yesterday, 51 on the season, batting .333 now, 2-for-4 on the day, 3 RBI, scores a couple of runs. Pretty good. That is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. All right, real quick, because he's been waiting, and then I'll get to the other stuff. Dan in Lafayette. What's up, Dan? How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how about that, huh? Back to back to back. That was amazing.
Belly to belly to belly.
It's crazy. When Soto gets up, if he hits a homer, it's like, well, let's watch Judge follow. It's becoming common now.
That is the expectation. I would agree with you. That's almost the expectation, as crazy as that sounds.
Yep. I just want to say, I mean, I wish Aaron Judge had his April that, you know, if he maintained average like he is now in April, I think he'd be already past 62, looking at his 70 plus. And, you know, with that, I think if he stays healthy, I think next year is going to be his peak season, you know, to current.
Could you, I mean, think about what you just said. Like, next year would be even better than what he did 2 years ago and this year. And what's crazy about that is you might not be wrong, which is remarkable to think about that.
You know, in the last segment, we had Pat in here. We're talking about Soto and trying to appeal to him to stay and all that. And he played the Judge clip. You know, we say it about Alonzo. You know, Judge isn't getting any younger either. I'm not saying he's going off a cliff or anything like that. But, you know, we think, oh, 2017 wasn't that long ago. But he debuted later because he went to college. So, you know, age-wise, I mean, look, you hope that he progresses well into the mid-30s and can play for a long time, transition to whatever, first base or DH. But, I mean, he is a big man. You hope that he doesn't break down. These last couple seasons, for the most part, have been, you know, outrageously good. But I'm sure for him, he feels like the clock's probably starting to tick on his peak prime years. And right now, they've got no World Series checked off for him. So he wants to get that done sooner rather than later.
He signed, what, a 9-year deal?
Does
that sound right?
Was it nine? Yeah,
I think it was nine. $360 million. Does that sound right? Whatever the case might be, it's either 8 or 9. I don't know exactly off the top of my head. I know you're checking it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this for what you just said. You better hope the back end doesn't fall off the cliff, only from the standpoint of he's going to be, I mean, he's only in year two.
I mean, they usually do with these guys. Well, that's what makes Soto unique. Usually when these guys are signing the big deals, they're around 30-ish. 9 for 360 was the deal.
Okay, so you're only in year two of 9.
Yeah.
So you could make the case that you better hope that peak isn't for another couple of years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Actually. But I think for him, he probably realizes, you know, look, I don't think he's saying, well, yeah, that's it. I'm going to break down after this year or anything like that. But you never know. I mean,
no, you don't know
when that's...
You're absolutely right. You could have like an Albert Pujols situation where he fell off a cliff those last, what, 3-4 years, would you say?
Yeah, the decline was pretty rapid. Close. Look what's happening to Mike Trout. Now, I know he's been more injuries than
he's
Judge.
He's always injured.
Yeah, but especially in recent years, though, it's been even more pronounced. You know, Judge at times in his career has missed pockets. Maybe not so much these last couple of years. You know, last year was
Last year
was sort of unique with the toe in LA, and you know he managed to come back. He wasn't the same, but at least he was, you know, able to play down the stretch.
It's also why what Lindor does being out there every single day, like don't take it for granted, guys. Yeah.
I saw a clip this morning. It popped up in my algorithm or whatever on. I'd never seen it before, where he was mic'd up for a game, not live on the broadcast. It was one of the Buck years, and he got hit in the face essentially at the plate. And the bench is cleared. I want to say it was the Nationals, maybe. I forget. And they've got Buck, you know, on mic with Lindor, and Lindor's the trainer says, "We got to take you out." And he's like, "I'm not coming out. I'm not." And Buck's like, "Listen, I don't feel right about it. We got to get you." He basically had to pull him off the field. After he just got hit in the face by a pitch.
That's the guy you want to pay and you want playing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of guy. So, real quick, because I said this about when is streaming too much streaming? So, I saw on one of these websites, or I think it was on YouTube, guy is talking about how often do you check your finances? And I'm thinking, well, every day. So, you know, I'm watching it.
Define check your finance. You mean like your investment accounts or whatever?
How often do you check your bank accounts, your credit card accounts that have zero balances to make sure no one is hacked in and is using them, and you're not going to get hit with a bill for $2,000 that you have no idea where it came from.
You're checking all of that every single day?
Not every day. The question was, how often do you check it? And his point was, you should check it at least once a week.
Okay.
At minimum, every 2 weeks. Now, I do check, my wife will tell you, every Saturday, I do go over everything just to have an idea.
You get up early while everyone sleeps.
Oh, absolutely.
You got the peace and quiet in the house. You do what you need to do.
Yes, my house is, I'm in bed early, everyone is up late, I'm up early, they're up late.
Right, opposite schedules.
Very much so.
Which, for some people, works.
Which is, well, I mean, I have no choice because of my hours.
No, I know you do, but I'm saying it, sometimes it works out. I mean, it's different. Your kids are older now, and they're pretty even keeled. I know them a little bit. But some family, you know, too much of each other can lead to problems.
Especially when you've got the job I have where I'm home at 11:30 every morning.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving at 7 and getting home at 7.
Right.
It's like, oh, Dad's home. It's like, oh, you again.
Yeah. And you're here for how many hours now?
Exactly.
Executively before we go to sleep?
So one of the things he said was, how much are you streaming? And how many subscriptions do you have?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever totaled up what you have?
No, I've not sat down and like really written it down, but I could ballpark it probably.
What do you think?
Streaming options? Yeah. So like we're talking strictly video stuff?
Whatever subscriptions you have, monthly subscriptions.
Oh. And I would say it's easily, I would think probably double digits.
Okay, I wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But I did not realize in my house, and this is changing.
I'm going to see how many of these I have as well.
We have YouTube Premium, which I will tell
that
you, Al suggested to me. Maybe a year and a half ago, amazing.
Okay,
it's like life changing. It's phenomenal.
That's the only thing.
It's great.
All right. And what are you paying for that?
For YouTube, I don't have the prices.
Right,
I want to say that's $12.99, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
We have Paramount Plus, which I love. I get all the NCISs on it. Oh, it's all the CBS programming.
Yep.
Okay. HBO Max, which I think is my fault. I think I only got it for Hard Knocks. I don't think I've logged in since.
And that's the key. That's I'll just get it for this, and then you forget to cancel. We had it. I think currently we don't.
Okay.
But we did have it at one point.
Netflix, like everybody has.
Two.
Okay. I've got Peacock, which I got for the NFL playoffs last year.
Have.
I don't watch it.
I didn't fall
but
for
I got
that
it
track.
For the NFL. I still have that. Didn't realize I was still paying for that. We have DirecTV Stream. That's our cable. All right, okay. That's fine.
But I
that's
have Fubo, so that's three for me.
We have Spotify.
I have Apple Music, four.
Okay. We have the Blink camera subscription every month. That's a fee every month.
The what now?
The camera, Blink, from Amazon.
Oh, like a security
thing?
Yeah.
We have the cameras
all over
the house.
That's five, yep.
Okay, so that's another one. I've got two, I don't have to mention them, but I've got two youth baseball subscriptions for these tournaments where you get the video and the...
Okay.
And some of them, not cheap, by the way,
no.
Which I did not realize what I was paying. They're going, like today.
Cross it off the list.
Well, all the stuff's on my list.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many is that I just gave you?
More. I only have five so far. You definitely have more. I think maybe you're close to eight.
It's insane.
Something like that.
I honestly had no idea we had this many.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other. We've got the Apple TV.
Okay.
The ESPN, Disney Plus, and Hulu trio.
Okay.
Which counts as one. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm at seven. I'm sure I'm missing
seven.
Something obvious.
Oh, I got MLB.TV. I got that one.
Which is now
$30 a month. I thought it was $22.
Yeah, I look forward to those emails from all these subscription services, you know. Well, you know, we are committed to giving you the best price. And you
everything
know what's coming.
Up.
They try
everything
to make,
goes up.
In light of that, we'll be increasing your monthly.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And then the phone is automatic. The insurance is automatic. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
All these different, you get hit from every which way.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of, that's too much streaming.
Tolls are going up. NJ Transit fares, even though I guess this week they're, the give back from NJ Transit is if you ride NJ Transit, I think this week it's free.
Oh, is that true?
Which is interesting considering it's a week a lot of people take off.
So. Smart on their part. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good public relations and not a lot of people travel.
I've managed to stay off since they hiked the fares. Let's see if I see how long I can keep that going.
See, I would take it
in the summer.
If there was a train I could take, I would take it. I can't get here in
time. But for me,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, nice to have you with us. 10 in front of 8. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I got a couple of things I'm going to throw at CeeLo coming up in just a moment. Also, we're going to get to the NFL at the top of the hour. However, right now it is time for our thriving player of the game. And we're talking about the Yankees, of course, yesterday. And you don't have to be a genius to figure this one out. His name is Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge swings and flies it. Deep right center field. Back near the wall. It is gone again. Aaron Judge, number 51. Soto and Judge go back to back. The stadium is raucous as the Yankees have a 6-3 lead.
Yeah, two home runs yesterday, 51 on the season, batting .333 now, 2-for-4 on the day, 3 RBI, scores a couple of runs. Pretty good. That is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. All right, real quick, because he's been waiting, and then I'll get to the other stuff. Dan in Lafayette. What's up, Dan? How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how about that, huh? Back to back to back. That was amazing.
Belly to belly to belly.
It's crazy. When Soto gets up, if he hits a homer, it's like, well, let's watch Judge follow. It's becoming common now.
That is the expectation. I would agree with you. That's almost the expectation, as crazy as that sounds.
Yep, yep. I just want to say, I mean, I wish Aaron Judge had his April that, you know, if he maintained average like he is now in April, I think he'd be already past 62, looking at his 70-plus. And, you know, with that, I think if he stays healthy, I think next year is going to be his peak season, you know, to current.
Could you, I mean, think about what you just said. Like, next year would be even better than what he did 2 years ago and this year. And what's crazy about that is you might not be wrong, which is remarkable to think about that.
You know, in the last segment, we had Pat in here. We're talking about Soto and trying to appeal to him to stay and all that. And he played the Judge clip. You know, we say it about Alonzo. You know, Judge isn't getting any younger either. I'm not saying he's going off a cliff or anything like that. But, you know, we think, though, 2017 wasn't that long ago. But he debuted later because he went to college. So, you know, age-wise, I mean, look, you hope that he progresses well into the mid-30s and can play for a long time, transition to whatever, first base or DH. But, I mean, he is a big man. You hope that he doesn't break down. These last couple seasons, for the most part, have been, you know, outrageously good. But I'm sure for him, he feels like the clock's probably starting to tick on his peak prime years. And right now, they've got no World Series checked off for him. So he wants to get that done sooner rather than later.
He signed, what, a 9-year deal?
Was it?
Does that sound right? Nine?
Was it nine? Yeah,
I think it was nine. $360 million. Does that sound right? whatever the case might be, it's either 8 or 9. I don't know exactly off the top of my head. I know you're checking it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this for what you just said. You better hope the back end doesn't fall off the cliff, only from the standpoint of he's going to be, I mean, he's only in year two.
I mean, they usually do with these guys.
Well,
when, that's what makes Soto unique. Usually when these guys are signing the big deals, they're around 30-ish. 9 for 360 was the deal.
Okay, so you're only in year 2 of 9.
Yeah.
So long you could make the case that you better hope that peak isn't for another couple of years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Actually. But I think for him, he probably realizes, you know, look, I don't think he's saying, well, yeah, that's it. I'm going to break down after this year or anything like that. But you never know. I mean,
no, you don't know
when that's...
You're absolutely right. You could have like an Albert Pujols situation where he fell off a cliff those last, what, 3-4 years, would you say?
Yeah, the decline was pretty rapid. Close. Look what's happening to Mike Trout. Now, I know he's been more injuries than
he's
Judge.
He's always injured.
Yeah, but especially in recent years, though. It's been even more pronounced. You know, Judge, at times in his career, has missed pockets. Maybe sure. Not so much these last couple of years. You know, last year was
Last year was
sort of unique with the toe in LA, and you know he'd managed to come back. He wasn't the same, but at least he was able to play down the stretch.
It's also why what Lindor does being out there every single day, like don't take it for granted, guys. Yeah.
I saw a clip this morning. It popped up in my algorithm or whatever on Twitter. I'd never seen it before, where he was mic'd up for a game, mm-hmm. not live on the broadcast. It was one of the Buck years, and he got hit in the face essentially at the plate. And the bench is cleared. I want to say it was the Nationals, maybe. I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Buck, on mic with Lindor. And Lindor's, the trainer says, we got to take you out. And he's like, I'm not coming out. And Buck's like, listen, I don't feel right about it. We got to get you. He basically had to pull him off the field. After he just got hit in the face by a pitch.
That's the guy you want to pay and you want playing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of guy. So, real quick, because I said this about when is streaming too much streaming? So I saw on one of these websites, or as I think it was on YouTube, guy is talking about how often do you check your finances? And I'm thinking, well, every day. So, I'm watching it.
Define check your finance. You mean like your investment accounts or whatever?
How often do you check your bank accounts, your credit card accounts that have zero balances to make sure no one is hacked in and is using them and you're not going to get hit with a bill for $2,000 that you have no idea where
it came from.
You're
checking all of that every single day?
Not every day. The question was how often do you check it? And his point was you should check it at least once a week.
Okay.
At minimum every 2 weeks. Now, I do check, my wife will tell you, every Saturday, I do go over everything just to have an idea.
You get up early while everyone sleeps.
Oh, absolutely.
You got the peace and quiet in the house. You do what you need to do.
Yes, my house is, I'm in bed early, everyone is up late, I'm up early, they're up late.
Right, opposite schedules.
Very much so.
Which, for some people, works.
Which is, well, I mean, I have no choice because of my hours.
No, I know you do, but I'm saying it. Sometimes it works out. I mean, it's different. Your kids are older now,
yeah,
and
they're
pretty even-keeled. I know them a little bit. But some family, too much of each other. Can lead to problems.
Especially when you've got the job I have where I'm home at 11:30 every morning.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving at 7 and getting home at 7.
Right.
It's like, oh, Dad's home. It's like, oh, you again.
Yeah. And you're here for how many hours now?
Exactly.
Consecutively before we go to sleep?
So one of the things he said was, how much are you streaming? And how many subscriptions do you have?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever total up what you have?
No, I've not sat down and really written it down, but I could ballpark it probably.
What do you think?
Streaming options? Yeah. So we're talking strictly video stuff?
Whatever subscriptions you have, monthly subscriptions.
Oh. I would think probably double digits.
Okay, I wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But I did not realize in my house, and this is changing.
I'm going to see how many of these I have as well.
We have YouTube Premium, which I will tell
that
you, Al suggested to me. Maybe a year and a half ago, amazing.
Okay,
it's like life changing. It's phenomenal.
That's the only thing.
It's
that,
great.
All right. And what are you paying for that?
For YouTube, I don't have the prices.
Right,
I want to say that's $12.99, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
We have Paramount Plus, which I love. I get all the NCISs on it. Oh, it's all the CBS programming.
Yep.
Okay. HBO Max, which I think is my fault. I think I only got it for Hard Knocks. I don't think I've logged in since.
And that's the key. That's I'll just get it for this. And then you forget to cancel. We had it. I think currently we don't.
Okay.
But we did have it at one point.
Netflix, like everybody has.
Two.
Okay. I've got Peacock, which I got for the NFL playoffs last year.
Have.
I don't watch it.
I didn't fall.
But
for
I got
that
it for the NFL. I still have that. Didn't realize I was still paying for that. We have DirecTV Stream. That's our cable. All right, that's fine.
I have Fubo, so that's three for me.
We have Spotify.
I have Apple Music. Four.
Okay. We have the Blink camera subscription every month. That's a fee every month.
The what now?
The camera, Blink from Amazon.
Oh, like a security thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. The Simply Safe, the house. That's five, yep.
Okay, so that's another one. I've got two, I don't have to mention them, but I've got two youth baseball subscriptions for these tournaments where you get the video and the...
Okay.
And some of them, not cheap, by the way,
no.
Which I did not realize what I was paying. They're going, like today.
Cross it off the list.
Well,
yeah.
All this stuff's on my list.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many is that I just gave you?
More. I only have five so far. You definitely have more. I think maybe you're close to eight.
It's insane.
Something like that.
I honestly had no idea we had this many.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other. We've got the Apple TV.
Okay.
The ESPN, Disney Plus, and Hulu trio.
Okay.
Which counts as one. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm at seven. I'm sure I'm missing something obvious.
Oh, I got MLB.TV. I got that one.
Which is now
$30 a month. I thought it was $22.
Yeah, I look forward to those emails from all these subscription services, you know. Well, you know, we are committed to giving you the best price. And you know what's coming.
They try everything goes up.
In light of that, we'll be increasing your monthly.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And then the phone is automatic. The insurance is automatic. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
All these different, you get hit from every which way.
Uh-huh.
But that's a lot of, that's too much streaming.
Tolls are going up. NJ Transit fares, even though I guess this week they're, the give back from NJ Transit is if you ride NJ Transit, I think this week it's free.
No, is that true?
Which is interesting considering it's a week a lot of people take off.
Smart on their part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good public relations and not a lot of people travel.
I've managed to stay off since they hiked the fares. Let's see if I see how long I can keep that going.
See, I would take it
in the summer.
If there was a train I could take, I would take
it.
I can't get here in
time. Right, but for me.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.